And now, Warming Center Wednesdays with the Flathead Warming Center and KGEZ's John Hendricks, where we tackle hard conversations around the complex causes of homelessness and discuss how we as a community can collaborate to address them.
And joining me from the Warming Center, the Executive Director, Tanya Horn.
John, it's great to be back.
Good to have you back. Some big reviews from our first two shows.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So now that we have everybody's attention, tell us about the Flathead Warming Center season coming to a close.
Absolutely. You know, our shelter season, so our overnight services, are coming to a close the end of April. That means that we have 42 nights remaining. However, our services continue through the warm weather months, just more of a day service.
So we're looking at, what did you say, 42 more?
42 more nights,
okay.
That's right.
Yeah, by then it better be warm.
Absolutely, there can be still cold nights after that, as well as we know. Mm-hmm. We live in Montana.
Nonetheless, though, we're going to continue to provide services for the people who need it.
Yes, we are year-round, so we provide services year-round.
So talk with me a little bit on the preparation you guys do in order to get everything going.
Yeah, there's a lot of preparation to prepare our guests for the fact that we're seasonal. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of intentional work that goes into that. From day one of meeting an individual, we start that relationship piece, and it all starts with relationship. And I know that I say that a lot, but I can't say that enough. It's that important. And then through our relationships, we roll into our roadmaps. That is our individualized plan, step by step, of how to get out of homelessness that we do with each individual. And then we revisit that week after week after week. And we integrate our resource links into our roadmaps. And our resource links are those outside community partners that bring their services and their resources inside the Warming Center to provide the tools and resources that people need to move out of homelessness. So doing all of that together should prepare a person to be ready to move beyond homelessness. And we start a 100-night countdown in our season. So we're at 42 nights for tonight. But we started that back at 100 nights. And the reason why we do that, it's very intentional. It's because we all need a sense of urgency that our overnight shelter is coming to a close. What is your plan, and how can we partner with you to help you to take that next step and that next step?
So kind of help me understand what sorts of things you can do to help people who need a place to live, can't afford it. The rents aren't getting any lower. Well, what can you do? It seems hopeless.
It can feel hopeless, absolutely. So you have to break it down step by step. And the very first step would be getting that ID. You can't do much. You can't get a job. You can't even get a bank account. There's a lot you can't do without an ID. You definitely can't get housing without an ID. So helping the person to get the needed documents that they need would be the very, very first step. And then looking at their individual situation. Everyone comes with a different situation. So it's complicated. It's very complicated. But being able to have that relationship with the individual will help us with that first step and the next step and the next step. And sometimes housing is not the end. Sometimes we cannot find housing for everybody. But making sure people are housing ready and giving them the opportunity to gain the tools and resources that they need to be housing ready is really a big focus of ours.
So it sounds to me like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds to me like what you're doing here is you're, by closing in the summertime, you're giving people the incentive to get something done in their lives.
Absolutely. You know, our shelter is seasonal. We're not long-term shelter, and we're not housing. We're an emergency shelter. When you talk about those night services that are coming to an end at the end of April, and we do believe that everyone needs that sense of urgency, and sometimes we need to feel a little uncomfortable. All of us need to feel a little uncomfortable to make some of the hard changes in life. And you know, our shelter model is low barrier. And year-round could be enabling. So all of that together mm-hmm. is a lot of intentionality behind why we are seasonal.
Well, let's have a difficult conversation, one of many that we have had and will continue to have. We seem to be like we're seeing more people on the streets, and we'll clarify that situation with Tanya Horn after this.
How do you spell help to a military veteran? First, you need to understand veterans are a unique population. They turn their life over to our country and were trained to rely only on themselves and each other. They will not ask for or expect help. Veterans Helping Veterans is about the only way a veteran will accept help. That's why Alan Erickson, a veteran, founded the Northwest Montana Veterans Stand Down in 2000. Stand down is a military term used to define a period where combat troops were allowed to stand down from the rigors of constant alert status and the hardships of battle. This stand down term aptly defines our homeless, at-risk, and low-income veterans. You drive by the new Northwest Montana Veterans Stand Down and Food Pantry every time you head east on Highway 2 past Kmart, the next building after Burger King. If you have clothing, food, or money to donate to our veterans in need, please donate it to the Northwest Montana Veterans Stand Down and Food Pantry. And if you buy at their thrift store, you're helping also. Thank you.
Let's get thrifty. Flathead Industries. Visit their thrift stores in Whitefish, Columbia Falls, and Kalispell. Find what was, what is, and what deserves to be in style. Clothing, furniture with and without the fur, electronics, decor, and the occasional boombox. And know when you shop or donate, you're creating opportunities for people with disabilities. So get thrifty. Shop, donate, support at Flathead Industries.
Is that your grandma's coat?
And now, back to Warming Center Wednesdays with the Flathead Warming Center and KGEZ's John Hendricks.
Tanya Horn is my guest. She is the executive director of the Warming Center. Are there more people on the streets now?
John, thank you for having some hard conversations with the Warming Center. I think it's very important. I think people are seeing more homelessness on our streets. And that can be alarming, and that causes a lot of questions that people have. And so I like to address what I see as the executive director of the Flathead Warming Center, yeah. our perspective of why are we seeing more people on the streets? It's very complicated, but I have some examples and some reasons that I definitely want to talk about.
Well, are we seeing more people, or are we just think we're seeing more people?
I think that we're seeing more people that used to be on the outskirts, more on the outskirts of town, mm-hmm. that for different reasons have been pushed into town and have been pushed into parks and have been pushed then to downtown. And now I believe are pushed more sometimes onto people's doorsteps, homeowners. So I see a lot of pushing around of homelessness. And sometimes, depending upon where you are in that scenario, you would see more. Mm-hmm. There's more homelessness, I believe, because of, you know, those four areas that I said that it's important for us to look at. You know, there's not enough housing. We talked about that before. We talked about the closing of the Blue and White Hotel and the Outlaw Inn, where lots of people got low-income housing. Their shelter and housing needs met there. And then back in 2017, those cuts to Medicaid reimbursement really did hurt a lot of our disabled population and our elderly population. So those are definitely factors that would bring more to homelessness within the Flathead. But are there things to talk about that really are barriers for people to get out of homelessness or when they fall into homelessness? Those are kind of some hard conversations. One would be transportation has totally changed in that to order a bus, to get a bus, you have to have a cell phone. And you have to have their app on the cell phone, and it has to be tied to a bank account. That is hard for a lot of vulnerable populations. So transportation is a big key in our community to helping people to get out of homelessness, but that has become a barrier to a lot of the folks that we see. Another barrier would be we've closed bathrooms for individuals. For the whole community. And there's reasons why those bathrooms have been closed and totally understand that. But there's a lot of human right to be able to go to the bathroom. And when you can't go to the bathroom, it's tragic for the individual. Very, very tragic. And a barrier within homelessness for sure. you know, being able to get the help that you need to get out of homelessness, there's some barriers there. To get into treatment, you have to have detox before you can get into treatment. And we don't have a formalized detox center here. So there's a barrier for people to get treatment with those addictions that they have. And then our lack of crisis stabilization. I've talked a lot about that. We need those places for people to go to get well, to stabilize in a crisis. That is another barrier that adds to kind of the increase in homelessness that we do feel and we see within our community.
My gosh, I'm just thinking as you're talking about this, what if you're sick and you have a fever? I mean, you're not going to die, but you got a fever and you feel miserable, you're weak, you can't function. What do you do? Where do you go? You can't even stay warm.
Well, if it's a medical issue, we have the answer for that in our community a lot of times. But when it's a mental health issue, a lot of times we don't have that answer within our community, at least not strong like it used to be. If we were to, when we saw the gazebo, people sleeping in the gazebo, if it was a person that was bleeding out physically, we wouldn't have that. We would identify that as being a medical need, and we would have a resource, and we would get that person to the help that they needed. But I propose a lot of some of the things that we are seeing in our community is a mental health bleeding out. You know, is an addictions bleeding out, and we lack those services in our community. And instead of seeing this as a person who needs that kind of help, we are unfortunately looking at it as being a character defect or a defiance against the system, and we need to look at it differently.
Well, what can you do? Oh, hello. What can you do to help people overcome this? And I mean, it sounds like what you're talking about is rock bottom here.
Absolutely rock bottom. And when people don't get their needs met and they're in crisis, it comes out sideways, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing within our community. That's what our businesses are experiencing. That's what individuals are even experiencing in their neighborhoods. And we have a lot of understanding for that. It is not okay the behaviors that we are seeing, and it is not okay the behaviors that our businesses are experiencing. But I really do believe in collaboration. I believe we can come together and that we can find solutions. Just this week on Flathead 411 talked about a horrible mess in Woodland Park, made believed by homeless people. And we immediately look at that and we see the homelessness, but we don't always see maybe the addiction piece or the mental health piece. And we definitely don't see the collaboration that we can do as a community to create better solutions for problems like that.
I'm kind of looking for some examples of where that collaboration might happen.
Absolutely. We have different groups within our community that's working in different pieces of the puzzle. And we need those groups to come together. And we have a vision that we'll be talking about of how that can happen and what that can look like when we talk about community collaboration. That's everyone coming together. And I think that's very important.
We're going to be checking on as we continue these discussions. Anything else on your agenda there?
Yes, I definitely would like to say, it's very important to understand that we can't serve everyone at the warming center. A person stay at the warming center is based upon their behavior. And there's lots of individuals that we've had to leave, so that we can maintain a safe shelter. And as I spoke about maybe the messes that are in a park or something like that, we can hold people accountable as much as possible inside the warming center. But we can't hold them accountable across the whole community. That is going to take a community effort to hold individuals' behaviors accountable, and we're all for that.
Okay. Well, I tell you, we have a lot to think about here, and that I think the important takeaway here today is that there are solutions. We simply have to work together to find them. Tanya Horn, thank you so much for all you and your staff and volunteers do.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another Warming Center Wednesday. Did you miss it, or would you like to share it with friends? Find today's and past shows via flatheadwarmingcenter.org. It's Warming Center Wednesdays on KGEZ 96.5 FM and 600 AM.